The word Pentecost comes from Greek-speaking Jews who used the word Pentecoste, which meant the 50th day. It was the day after a long celebration of 49 days, after which they celebrated what's called the Feast of Weeks. You see, 49 is 7 times 7. A week times a week was very significant in the Jewish mindset. And so the 50th day began the celebration of the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Weeks for the Jews was a celebration essentially of stewardship. This was the celebration where they took the fruits of the first fruits of the harvest and gave it back to God. Let's say you were a wheat farmer. When you started cutting your wheat, you would take the first part of your wheat and you would take it down to the temple and offer it to God through the intercession of the priests who would distribute it to various places. You see, it was an act of recognizing what God had given them and then responding in generosity. God calls us to do the same thing today. And we talk in our parish a lot about stewardship, and rightly so. We tend to think of it in terms of time, talent, and treasure. And this is, number one, a lesson in that stewardship. And it challenges us to ask the question, do we give the first fruits of what we have? Or do we give the last? It can be very tempting to give the last. I would imagine for you who are parents and have kids, you begin your day by getting your kids ready for school. First, you got to get them woken up, if that's even possible. And then you have to probably get them to take a bath, which they didn't do the night before, but were supposed to. And then you have to try to get something in their tummies. And then you have to have them change clothes because they got very creative in dressing themselves. And then you get them off to school. And then you got to get to work or get household chores done. And it occurs to you when you get to the end of the day and you're exhausted that, gosh, I haven't taken any time for prayer today, right? The same thing happens in the priesthood sometimes. I rush off after Mass in the morning and into the office and hit the ground running. And, you know, you get halfway through the day and you think, oh my gosh, I haven't taken any time for Jesus. Is that giving the first fruits? Well, it may not be giving the very first part of my day. But remember, a fruit is something that's produced. It's something available for you to pick. And so maybe your first fruits actually do come at noon. Or maybe your first fruits come in the evening. My spiritual director, I told him a couple years ago, I said, I'm having trouble praying. And he said, well, when do you pray best? That's your first fruits. And I said, well, I really pray best at 9 o'clock at night. Because everybody's gone and the day's over, right? And there's not so much anticipation about what's coming. And he says, well, then pray at that time. Pray with your first fruits. Also, give of your time, talent, and treasure with your first fruits. How many of us wait until we see what's left over at the end of the month to see what we give to the church? God can't bless you and take care of you better when you're not taking care of what he's given you. Do you remember the story of the talents? The master gave 10 talents, 5 talents, and 1 talent, each to 3 different servants, and then asked them to invest those talents. Now, it's a coincidence, a nice, funny coincidence, that in English, a talent is something we're skilled at. He was actually talking about money. A talent was a form of money back in that time. So the first servant he gives 10 to, and he expects him to invest it. And when he comes back from his journey, he goes up to the guy with 10 and he says, what have you done with my 10? And he says, Master, I went out and I made 10 more for you. Here's 20. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Take charge of 10 cities. So he puts him in charge of 10 cities. The second servant, he comes back and he had 5. And he said, what have you done with my 5? And he says, well, I made you 5 more. He says, good job. Go and take charge of 5 cities. And the guy he gave 1 to, he came back and he says, what have you done with the 1 I gave you? And he said, well, I buried it because I was scared. I knew you were a demanding man. And so I went and hid it. He says, you useless servant, get out of my sight. You see, guys, we may feel like God hasn't blessed us with much, whether it's time, talent, or treasure. But if we're not faithful by giving the first fruits of the very little we have, even if it's one thing, if we're not faithful in that, he can't bless you with more. Notice he gives more to the 10, he gives more to the 5, but he doesn't give more to the 1 because they weren't faithful with the very little they had. But brothers and sisters, this is not just true in the sense of material things. It is true in the sense of spiritual things, especially as we celebrate this weekend Pentecost. How many of you pray to God the Father? You don't have to raise your hand. It's a rhetorical question. Probably all of you. You say the Our Father, right? How many of us pray to Jesus? Probably all of us, right? Regularly. Jesus, I need your help. Or Jesus, these children are driving me nuts, right? But how many of us pray to the Holy Spirit on a regular basis? He's kind of the poor, neglected person of the Trinity, isn't he? And yet, we live in the age of the Holy Spirit. You see, God the Father primarily revealed himself through the Old Testament. Jesus came and revealed himself in the Gospels. And then throughout the rest of the New Testament and in the age we're living now, we live where Jesus has ascended back into heaven and gifted us here in the world with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity that is most, in a sense, most with us right now. Now, it doesn't mean that when we pray to the Father or to the Son, we've like, oh, prayed to the wrong person in the Trinity. No wonder I'm not being answered. But we forget about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit wants to empower us. And look what the Holy Spirit did. Look what the Holy Spirit did for the first apostles. They could speak in tongues. They were bold enough to go off to foreign lands and preach the gospel and even die for it. They weren't really seemingly afraid of anything. And yet, how many of us walk around in fear, whether it's fear of Muslims coming and killing us or fear of speaking up in the workplace when a dirty joke is told? Guys, the same Holy Spirit that was there on the first Pentecost, do you think like God switched out the Holy Spirit and gave you a different one? No, it's the same Holy Spirit. The problem is we're not as receptive as those guys were 2,000 years ago. And we aren't faithful with the little we have. And so he can't give us more. He gives us gifts of wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear or awe of the Lord. I can't tell you how many times as a priest, and it's not just because I'm a priest, it's because I call on the Holy Spirit, and sometimes I do forget to, too. But I find myself often in situations where I don't know what to do. Somebody calls me down to the hospital, and they've lost a little baby before it's born, or somebody's dying, or a child's severely sick, or somebody comes to your office and they say, Father, you know, I've been on drugs for most of my life and, you know, I don't know how to get clean. And I don't know about you, but I find myself thinking, well, I haven't had these experiences. I don't know what to say to you. And it's not, you know, certainly there are graces that come with ordination, but guys, if we don't call upon the grace in our lives. You have the grace of baptism and confirmation. It's at those moments when we find ourselves so out of the water, like a fish out of water, that's when we got to call upon the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Fill our hearts. Give us the words to know what to speak to our friend or to this stranger that we don't know and we don't know what to say. If I were to ask you before you came into church today, I, it would have been a fun experiment. I could have stood at the door and asked every one of you who came in, what does Pentecost mean? What would you have said? And it wouldn't have been a quiz because there's lots of great answers. Some of you might have said, well, it's the birthday of the church. Great answer. It is. We celebrate the church's birthday today. Say, oh, well, that's when the Holy Spirit came into that upper room on the first Pentecost and there were tongues of fire and people spoke in tongues. Yeah, that happened. You're right. That's what Pentecost is. But I think the most important question you can ask yourselves today, especially as you leave church, is what does Pentecost mean to you? How are you drawing on the grace of Pentecost in your life? Do you realize that it's the same Holy Spirit who was there at the very beginning of creation, sweeping over the waters? It's the same Holy Spirit who inspired the first apostles that still is with you today. Jesus even says to his apostles, "You will do greater things than I." You will do greater things than I did. The Holy Spirit is with you, but we must be good stewards of it. We must give back to God the first fruits of everything, including our spiritual lives. What gifts has God given you? Particularly on this Pentecost Sunday, what spiritual gifts has God given you? And how are you regularly exercising them? And what does Pentecost mean to you?